There are four primary goals that we're working forward. And number one is, how do we have a transportation system that maximizes student learning? And there is now research that is rather pointed in regards to the sleep patterns of adolescents. So we're looking at that very closely.
Night owls, you mean?
Yeah, night owls.
Not morning people.
Not morning people. So when we do have classes that begin at 7:15 in the morning, the question will be, is that the best time for students to be, high school students and even junior high students, to be in classrooms where perhaps they're not quite awake?
One of the scenarios then involves a later start for high school and,
yes,
and continued early starts for elementary?
Yes, we are looking at perhaps that flipping of that. We've looked at, as we look at our total busing system, is there a way? Because currently we are using a three-tier system, meaning that we have our elementary has a unique time, our junior high has a unique time, and our high school has a unique time. Therefore, we transport each of those populations separately. Well, is that maximizing the use of our transportation dollar? And the reason we are in a deficit there is, quite frankly, we're basically about 70% funded compared to what we were 7 to 8 years ago. And we're at that point in time where that type of allocation from our state has put us at a deficit. So we're going to have to figure out, what are we going to do differently? And it may involve, and here are some other considerations. How do you provide a safe transportation? Well, what does safe transportation mean? Well,
not mixing age groups all that much, although what you're talking about is doing that.
It could be a possibility, yes. And how do you, as I look at safe transportation, what are the better safe driving times? Now, you could look at your high school population. Is it better for them to be driving at 6:45 to 7:15 in the morning, or is it better for them to be driving a little later when it's lighter? Likewise, is it better to have a professional driver, i.e. a bus driver, knowing that they're trained, they're highly, they've gone through all those various trainings to be safe drivers? Is it better for them to have the earlier times and so forth? So that's part of safe transportation. I could also look at discipline, which alludes to absolutely. And do we have consistency on our buses in regards to, do our bus drivers know what the buildings are doing in regards to positive behavior enforcement? Do they know what the particular procedures are? Are we following up on those? So safe transportation can take upon itself some various different things. I'll also say this, as we're looking at more and more of the research, does maximizing sleep patterns, you're looking at reduction of depression, you're looking at reducing sports injuries, all those other things that happen to be part of the impact of early start versus later start times for adolescents.
Does it affect learning so much, though? There's mixed evidence on that.
Yes.
It does affect injuries, and it does affect,
yes,
those other things you mentioned. But learning, what
That's
about
where
that?
We're going to turn to our educators by surveying them. That will be coming out in the next couple of weeks. We truly want to know, from an elementary teacher perspective, also an elementary parent, talk to us about, what are you finding out to be, in our particular scenario with our students, when do you think an elementary student's maximizing their, when's their window of maximized learning? Also, do that for the secondary kids. Ask the parents the same question. So there will be surveys coming out, and I'm hoping our parents, as well as our teachers and our building administrators, and even our high school kids, we're trying to flow that to them, asking them these questions so I can provide some of that feedback to our team.
So what are capsule summaries of the four scenarios for transportation that you'll be presenting on which you want feedback?
Well, they are mixed. We have, as I was saying, currently we have a three-tier system. So each, again, elementary, junior high and high school, each starting at different times. That will be the first scenario as it currently is. Give us the pros and cons of those.
Okay.
Then you start looking at, well, what if you look at a, we'll call it a three-tier system where you would flip the elementary with the high school time.
Okay.
Or perhaps put it in the middle.
Okay.
Because there are some other consideration for high school students, and we're hearing from this from them as well. I have work obligations. I have after school. I have co-curricular activities after school. Do we, and again, we're looking at the data on this, do I have to leave school early, thus miss, say, the last period of the day because I have to get on a bus to make that activity that may be in a different city? So we're going to look at that closely as well. But right now, you could look at scenarios where perhaps we have elementary first, high school second, junior high third. Now, our transportation company that we use would say we need a minimum of 45 minutes, and it would be best if we had 50 minutes between each one of those tiers. Well, that does put a little pressure on trying to find that best schedule because, guarantee, there is not a perfect schedule. There always will be a weakness in one of those schedules. So now let's go to a different scenario. Say it was a two-tier system where basically you're transporting all your K through or all your elementary kids at one time, and you're transporting all your 6th through 12th graders at one time, junior high and high school. Now, one scenario would be, what if we would keep all the junior high kids separate from all the high school kids? What are the ramifications of that? Do we save any costs associated with that? The other would be, well, perhaps we have 6th graders and 12th graders on the same bus. Now, there you would go into, and I've asked, had a student panel just yesterday talking with them. I said, talk to me about this. And these were high school students. I said, you know, I'm going to have to address, and rightly so, what about that parent who has a 6th grader that may be on the bus with a 12th grader? And they sort of smiled at me and said, well, Dr. Daniel, I have to tell you, not many 12th graders ride a bus. But what about 11th graders? What about 10th graders and so forth? So we do have to have, if that is a particular way we go, we do have to be able to address that, yes, number one, not only are we looking at what's going to maximize student learning, but what is safe transportation? And how are we going to, do we perhaps have the younger students at the front of the bus and so on and so forth?
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel. What sort of time frame are you looking for to get the surveys back and then to crunch that and then to make a choice?
We do have a short window because we would like to have this to our school board with a definite proposal by the February board meetings. There will be on January 29th, I believe that's a Friday, a distribution of a survey, and then we'll probably use SurveyMonkey. It will return to us, and we'll have a week to have the survey returned, after which that data will then be crunched, and we'll find out what are the trends, what are the suggestions from our parents, and again, from our educators, as well as from our high school students. From there, we do have currently a team that's meeting, and they've been analyzing various simulations as well as gathering research and having discussions. They do the pro cons of some recommendation or some scenarios. That will then go to another level of committee work, and I believe I call that the committee that are the implementers. And so we'll have the educators, both teachers, administrators, building administrators, those folks who have to implement, as well as some key community people in as we bring in our vendor or experts in transportation. How do we make this work? That information is going to be put in a summary form that then will be presented to the board in February. Decision, hopefully, mid-March.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel. The board recently approved an application for $17.5 million in Community Reinvestment Act money for qualified school construction. What would that go to if it's approved?
Very good. That's absolutely critical. It goes towards our infrastructure. We have approximately $2 billion worth of capital investments in our district. That 17.5 million roughly, will go towards roofs, go towards infrastructure in regards to heating and air conditioning upgrades, as well as lighting. Right now, we receive approximately $1 million per year to cover the maintenance and the equipment, as well as upgrading of facilities. That, of course, is used very quickly. And we know we have roofs that need work today, and we know we have HVAC systems. And I'll give you an example, Parkside Junior High School, about 48 years of age, and the piping's galvanized. That galvanized piping's now corroded and is starting to fail. Therefore, we have to figure out what are we going to do to upgrade that system, ensuring that hopefully we will not, and our major goal is not to distribute or not to disrupt the learning. But that is going to be a year-round project, and we have to upgrade throughout that building. And the decision has been that we will, if these bonds are approved, and again, we're going through this application process because we're in a very unique time. We're applying for interest-free bonds, which came from the feds about 5 years ago. $500 million went to Chicago Public Schools. The other $500 million had set on the governor's desk. That has been released, and therefore we have moved our 10-year facility projects. We've uploaded three into a three-year, 36-month project.
That
now
would be good for the area construction industry, certainly.
Yes.
How competitive is this expected to be? Interest-free will catch the attention of a lot of school districts.
And to do so, you have to go through an application process that is due. We have completed the application. That has been submitted. It is based on health, life, safety amendments. That's what we're utilizing because it has to be used for infrastructure or for building. So we have worked very, very hard, and I have to give kudos to our maintenance and custodial staffs because they have worked very hard to ensure that those amendments are in place. What we're hoping is that although it could have been for $50 million, because it has to be in a 36-month window, we felt we could do about $17.5 million worth of upgrades. Again, facilities only. We're not going out and putting it into new buildings, or it's strictly how do you continue to maintain a $2 billion investment. So that's where we're about. Yes, it's going to be competitive, but we're also hoping that perhaps because the timeline was very short, many of the districts that thought they could do it will not actually be able to do it. Now, there is one caveat also. If you're not able to complete projects in the 36 months, those monies roll back, and hopefully there is going to be a second round of application.
Mark Daniel is the superintendent of Unit 5 schools in McLean and surrounding counties. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Charlie. Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.